is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, VSiN.com. It's all you're going to need for your betting needs. Bookmark it. It's brand new. It's great on the mobile as well. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by your state, betting tools, and betting guides. Check out VSiN.com. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. This is Sharp Money, DraftKings, VSiN, the sports betting network, as we welcome you back. So, yeah, I mean, it's starting to get interesting. Stanley Cup Final. We got some juice, and Game 6 is coming up in Edmonton. That barn is going to be ridiculous. As Dustin said, first time game winner, Game 5 on the road, coming back for a Game 6. So, that is, Alberta is going to be shaking. Coming up on Friday night, $1.25 on the Edmonton Oilers, +105, 5.5, as is consistent. DraftKings has it 110 up and down, so not much different there. Now, the series itself, if you take a look, and just taking a look at the futures, we had it up there. It's interesting with McDavid and the Conn Smythe. We'll get to that and the ramifications, as Dustin mentioned, up to 175. The Panthers -330 and the Edmonton Oilers +275. So getting interesting. And again, likes we've never seen. The L that I could be eating by saying, you donks, you can't just bet the Oilers because you know Connor McDavid. Last two games may have proven me wrong, but we're not dead yet, big guy. Now, we do have a few more pieces of sound I want to play because I'm trying to understand the confidence level on both the Panthers and Oilers side. And I think we should start with Mr. McDavid, or as he's known in Edmonton, McJesus. What do we got here?
Yeah, look, he's joining the likes of Mario Lemieux and Wayne Gretzky when it comes to records at this point. So he's reaching that immortal status already early in his career. And they talked with him about that and the run he's been on after the game last night.
Connor, I know that you're not chasing individual records, but you have now more than 40 points. Only two guys in the NHL were able to do that, Wayne and Mario. In a certain way, is it a little bit special for you?
I seem to be getting this question a lot, which is a good thing. You know, anytime you're compared or in the same realm as those two, it's always a good thing, you know. But I love playing in the playoffs. I love playing with this group. And it's not possible without everybody, you know, as High has alluded to. So it's been a fun ride. We're glad it's going to go one more day. But that's all we've earned here is another day, another flight. And we'll be ready to go in Edmonton on Friday.
All right, I'm terrified.
Yeah, you should be. He's speaking, you should be scared.
Zero personality. No swag, no juice. It's just like the Killers always have. He's just like, I have to answer your question. I'm not really concerned with it. I'm looking to go add two G's and two A's in Game 6.
He literally sounded like a sniper being told he just set the record for most kills in military history, in the history of the world. And he's like, yeah, it's whatever. We just got to do our business.
Yeah, he just got his orders. And he's fine with them.
Just following them. My orders are to make everyone better and win.
Not great.
It was not encouraging. Let's hear from the head coach, Chris Knobloch, who, look, first time in this situation. Everything's a first time for him. He took over during the season. And he discussed with the media last night about them fighting back after being down 0-3 in this series.
Yeah, I know a lot of guys counted us out. I think, like you said, through this. We've been counted out a lot through the playoffs, regular season, whatever. But it doesn't faze the group in there. They've got a lot of belief and just enjoying every extra day because we were counted out a long time ago and we're still here playing hockey in June and have the opportunity. We are going back to Edmonton for Game 6 and there's a lot to smile about.
Can that dude go back to filing taxes or working at State Farm or whatever it looks like he should be doing? I mean, he looks like an accountant. He had never coached in the NHL before. Can you get the hell out? It's starting to get frustrating.
Yeah.
The L I'm going to eat is going to be wild. I didn't eat an L with the Celtics because I said, you know, that is obviously a championship team with championship medal. Mm. We knew that was coming. Edmonton, a little different.
Can we also talk about the role that going back to Edmonton plays in this? And I'm not talking about just the arena and how loud it's going to be on Friday, but Florida was at home in beautiful, beautiful South Beach, getting ready, like, mentally. I'm sure people were texting, hey, if you win tonight, where are we partying? Hey, if you win tonight, when's the parade? Hey, if you win tonight, can you make sure you get me in on your list at the club? Like, they were this close to thinking that they were going to celebrate at home in their own beds. And now, as I mentioned earlier, they've got to travel 12 hours all the way back to Edmonton.
And Halterman's going to join an emergency spot, big guy, with the group. You know, the boys are buzzing. Mm. Here is the reason that you may... Now, most people think I'm always doing shtick or being sarcastic. Here are my concerns. Now, I still think the Panthers are going to win, but a couple of reasons I'm concerned. One, McDavid is officially awake. It's obvious. Two, I thought game four was an aberration when they dropped eight, but yesterday they start with a shorty and go on to dominate the game. Okay? And then number three, Bob. We've got a shook goaltender. All of a sudden, Grant Fuhr is Stuart Skinner, and Bobrovsky is out here falling all over himself and giving up cheapies. All right? It's not great. And you mentioned the barn was buzzing yesterday in Florida. They were ready to celebrate on home ice, and it got quiet real quick.
Also, for Conn Smythe purposes, Bob's up to plus 750, and he cannot win the award. He cannot win this. I don't care if the Panthers win. Bobrovsky will not be the Conn Smythe winner, which opens up a world of possibilities for the Panthers. Is it Barkov who's plus 280? Is it Tkachuk who made that awesome hustle play late? It ended up not mattering to stop an empty net goal from going in at 30-1. What about Rodriguez, who's 300-1, who feels like he's in the mix at times? There's so many options now because Bob's out of the mix. However, all of it doesn't matter if the Oilers win, because then McDavid at minus 175 ends up being your Conn Smythe winner.
I think, you know what, and you said it this morning, and I totally agree with you. I think Barkov at 2.5-1 is a pretty good price. He has been the best Panther.
Yeah.
If they do win it, interesting.
And you have to project. So the projection would be, well, Bob's a little bit leaky, some more goals, which means the offense for Florida has to step back up. Who's going to make that happen? It's Barkov. They're going to turn to him. He's their best player. That's where the scenario plays out. Let's hear from one more member of the Oilers. Because right now, they're fighting back for game six here. Zach Hyman discussed being in this position going back home.
It's just human nature. I think that's the beauty of sports, is it's never over until it's over. And, I mean, everybody on the outside can think it's over, but the guys in this locker room, we just believe. We believe since we were, you know, second to last in November. And now we're here. We're two games away. We got a chance, an amazing opportunity to go back home and send it to seven. So that's where we're at. I mean, it's been a crazy story this whole year. Yeah. So we got to continue to write it. And it doesn't make for a good story unless you finish it.
Yeah, but and you said that Bob is leaky, so you're being kind. He's floody. He is flooding right now. Epic proportions. And it's the one position in sports where the yips, when they come fast. Where you start to doubt yourself, you give up a cheapie, and then all of a sudden, it's a downhill. It's just, right now, it's not great. So
it's not good when you're wearing a mask and all those pads, and I can see with my eyeball you lack confidence at shots coming your way. The body language is bad. The body language is bad.
And you, as obvious, a hockey aficionado, when you can pick it up with the bare eye, you know it's not great. And again, we're going to have the emergency with the plus money prince, Aaron Halterman. He knows his hockey. I'm hoping he comes in and he has that kind of calming influence. And we'll have, of course, Samich on before game six coming up on Friday. I'm hoping he's able to calm us down a little bit here. But I will say this. The group got very quiet.
Very quiet.
Generally, we would keep the confidence going when the text just slowly started to fade because we couldn't even do positive shtick anymore. It was a bad look.
Well, it's hard to say got him right where we want him when you're down that big early. It's really hard to say that. Also, did Zalman send a text last night? Was he even in the mix?
He's comatose. McDavid has got him in a coma. And again, you know, you're down 2-0, and that's where the Halterman piece is tough on us as well, because he's always laying the puck and a half.
Yeah.
So we're grasping at a straight-up winner. We're not covering a puck and a half.
No. That's the worst part. Even he's like, it's about pride at that point. Late in the game, he's rooting for them just to find a way to go to overtime. He can't win his bet. He just wants to make sure his Panthers win.
Yeah, it is. It's about pride. So, Halterman in 20 minutes. When we come back, I have to discuss a man that took over my Pistons and showed no pride, showed no gumption, showed nothing except that he knows how to secure the bag. We're back. Sharp Money on a Wednesday.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, DraftKings, VSiN, the sports betting network. I'm Patrick Maher. Dustin Sweetelson, downtown Las Vegas at the D, and sitting next to him is Mike Palm, Circa, the D, Golden Gate Casino's VP of Ops. Of course, VSiN hosts at Mike Palm, Circa. We've got Palm versus the big guy coming up here in just a bit, but we start by saying, hi, Mike, how are you?
Hello, Patrick. Hello, Dustin. Everything is terrific here. We got an extended Stanley Cup Finals. We get some drama as we head back to Edmonton. We're down to the Final Four in Omaha at the College World Series. Derek and some of the crew were there on Father's Day and on Monday. Caught a couple of the games. Obviously, Patrick, Euros are underway right now. Copa about to get underway, and just terrific baseball action on a daily basis. They had a nice schedule today with some day games. Manfred gets about 2 days a week right with the schedule.
The Euros, by the way, right now, Croatia, Albania, they tied up at 2-2 early. Germany beat Hungary 2-0. And right now at the break, my assumption is you bet the under here with Scotland and Switzerland. They're tied up at ones.
Am I right? There's far too many goals in this Euro. I'm going to wait for the knockout. I lose Spain under 2.5. I won England under 2.5. And now I'm waiting for the knockout. Too much chicanery, too many own goals, empty netter by Turkey. I mean, it's all kind of nonsense there. I'll wait till we get to the serious soccer when we're in the knockout.
Yeah, the empty netter and the 97th minute by Turkey. Yeah, that was a rough one. We were talking before you came. I believe I asked you last week, would you take a sweep by the Panthers or the Oilers in 7? You said Oilers in 7. Well, that may come to fruition as McDavid went nuts last night. Let me get your take on Panthers Oilers right now.
I have to tell you, I believe that Florida must win in Edmonton if they're going to win this series, because there will be too much pressure in a Game 7 in that rat bin in Sunrise with all their family and friends in front of them, facing history, the first team ever to blow a 3-0 lead. You saw they got tight last night as soon as they gave up the first goal. They've got to go play loose with less expectations as a dog on the road and win, because I don't think they can come back and win a Game 7 at home.
Bobrovsky, what the heck happened? Are you seeing this guy? Like, no confidence. He looks terrified. And that was the linchpin. That was the X factor of the series, Mike. Do you trust him? And obviously, you can't win the Conn Smythe, right?
Well, I thought I covered my Bobrovsky Conn Smythe tickets by splashing a little on Barkov after Game 3. McDavid might win this even if they lose in 6.
Yeah.
Yep. I really feel that way right now. And I've had several people tell me, you better get some McDavid plus whatever you can find him in the market right now. 250, 220.
No, you got to lay 175 right now.
My God almighty. So I'm caught between a rock and a hard place. I have to hope Bobrovsky has a great Game 6 and they, you know, gives up 0 or 1 goals and they win there. And that might still not be enough.
Yeah, it is. And again, McDavid last night was, I mean, insane. And he's flirting with Gretzky's most points in a postseason, which is 47. One thing you have to do, Mike, when talking about Gretzky's, you always have to provide context. Because his records are just, he had 47 points in 18 games in 85. This is 42 points for McDavid in 23 games. So, again, context with the great one.
I will say this, Patrick. You know, Willie Mays passed yesterday, obviously, and we'll get all the tributes. Gretzky, I think, is probably the most unanimous choice as the greatest athlete in their sport. I don't think people dispute that. They can argue Jordan and LeBron. You can argue baseball Bonds and all that. But you must understand the era that he played his first 10 or 12 years in. I mean, the scores of the games were 6-3. In terms of scoring, right, you won't touch. His assist record, obviously, isn't it? But all those points records, the games were in a much different plane at that time than they are today. It's very hard to compare the athletes of today when your totals are 5.5 and 6. When those games were being played, you saw very few games have under 6 goals in that era.
It's like trying to put Babe Ruth into context when he hit more home runs than entire, like, teams.
Yeah, it's like we're going to talk about in our greatest baseball player we ever. I mean, these statistics are like you're split by eras. I mean, people that played before 1960 and people that played after 1960, the games are just totally different. I mean, there's some records that are held for people who played before 1929. I mean.
Yeah, it is. And it looks like Ovechkin could – he's going to catch him with the goals, it looks like. But as you mentioned, the assists. That's not happening. The College World Series, you mentioned it. Have you been getting into it, or are they betting it there at Circa?
Betting it, yeah. They're betting it. All I did was take an exacta is the only thing I did. And I took this exacta when they were headed to Super Regionals, that the finals would be Tennessee and A&M. Well, it's sitting right there for the taking, right? They both had to get beat twice, and Tennessee's already jumped on Florida State. I need A&M to beat Florida 1 out of 2 games, and then I will get there. I liked A&M a lot. Tennessee is just – they're so loaded offensively. That's how he plays, Tony, the manager. I mean, they're going to try to outslug you all the time, but they got the horses to do it. So college baseball has been a sport that the right has increased. And remember, I remember a few years ago we would only book Friday night games in the SEC during the regular season, and then you didn't get it until we got to regionals. You know, now we're booking almost every top 25 matchup all season long in college baseball. So there's a lot more exposure. There's a ton of podcasts out there now where there weren't, you know, 5-6 years ago. So there's a lot more interest in the sport. I don't know if it'll ever grow to the level Derek thinks, where he thinks, you know, Super Regional weekend will be the same as the first 2 days of the NCAA basketball tournament. But you're seeing sellouts at these regional sites, right? 8,000-9,000 people, where even 5 years ago they were drawing 3,000 for these games.
I totally agree. Just to circle back on the hockey, I totally agree. The pressure's on Edmonton Friday, but then every ounce of it goes to the Panthers if there is a Game 7. Well, the pricing would be fascinating in Game 7. What do you think the price would be in Game 7?
Florida, very small, very, very small. I would say maybe $1.15 favorite at home in Game 7 after having blown 3 in a row.
Yeah, we said maybe $1.20.
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Like, it closed 162 yesterday. You're right. It starts with a shorthanded goal, which is just a bad omen. We've got some juice, unlike what happened in Game 5 of the NBA Finals, which was never in question. We certainly have some juice here with the Panthers and Oilers. There's no doubt. What else? What's happening at Circa as far as anything coming up that people need to know about?
How are sign-ups going?
Signups are incredible. We're over, you know, we update it once a day, but we're over 700 in Survivor already. And this year, I think I looked back, we were at 230 at the same day last year at the end of the day. And I was sitting in the book for about an hour at Circa this morning. Our meeting got done early. And, I mean, there had to be 20 people there. They were all with proxies, and they were all waiting their turn to get called with the teller to go put their entries in. And so there's... Maybe this thing really does take off, because it's always such a slow ramp up. But shoot, we're going to be 1,000 early next week, maybe this weekend already.
Let's say, where were you at this year? Like a year ago at this time, where were you at?
2:30, the same day.
And 2:30. We're at like 700.
We're at 7:04 when I was talking at the book. We update it once a day at the end of the day, so we're at triple the pace, and then 200 whatever it was. You know, not quite double, but over 50% higher in the. In the millions as well. We had that grad splash. Did I talk about that on this show?
Yes.
No, go for
it. I saw videos of it.
Yeah. We invited, it happened last Friday, but it's a really cool thing. Everybody that graduated from a Clark County high school, and there's 73 of them, up to Stadium Swift. The event went very well. I think we had almost 1,200 show up. It was a very well-behaved crowd, total mix from across the valley, and, you know, and Clark County is a far-reaching place. So everybody had a great time, food and drink, and it just created a lot of energy out there. You know, when Friday daytime isn't that big of a deal, right? And it's really Saturdays and Sundays. But and a nice crowd that stuck around, at least for the first half of the Mavs game.
That's a great endeavor. When you say really takes off, what constitutes really taking off for a survivor to you?
I'd say getting north of 13,000 entries. I think 12,000 is a pretty good number that we could grow it. You know, we said 8 last year, and we got 9,200, and then we say 10. I think 12 is very attainable. 13, I mean, Mitch has always said that within, and this was 2 or 3 years ago, within 5 years there'd be over 20,000. We'll see.
Well, look, you guys are in so many states. If they could ever allow it where you could enter it in every state you're in, like, do you see that ever coming down the road?
Well, then I think you're talking about 100,000 entries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you have Illinois, right?
Iowa, Colorado, and Kentucky now on board.
Yeah.
Illinois is huge. I mean, it's massive. And we have a property on the, you know, Waukegan, which is just an hour north of Chicago.
Now, we're going to get to Palm versus the Big Guy. Dustin, I did notice in the notes that you didn't put the record in there. Is that for a reason?
That was accidental. I do have to get it. I'm getting smoked, though. I know that much.
I think it's
smoked.
Like 8. I know Palm has 8 wins.
I think it's 8-4-2
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
8-4-2, something like that.
I'll get it.
Go ahead and take a look. We'll see if the Big Guy, who did win the coin toss, can bounce back here. We've got Palm versus the Big Guy. Coming up right now, just want to update you. It's still 1-1 with Scotland and Switzerland. And for Mike Palm, exciting day because MLS on Wednesday. Although I don't think he bets U.S. soccer.
Listen, if it's not on Fox, I have no interest in it either because I don't have that Apple TV deal. So I don't.
It's awesome.
You know, the Fox has that one game on during the week. I might take a look at it if there's a defensive-minded team, maybe.
All right.
We were 8-3-1 going to last week. Last week was a push?
Last week was a push, I believe.
We're 8-3-2.
Was that true? Or was 2 weeks ago was a push?
8-3.
No, last week was a push.
Okay.
8-3-2. Yikes.
Oof.
Uphill climb, Big Guy.
It's not going well.
We shall see.
Oof.
Coming up next, Palm versus the Big Guy. Get ready for some Olympic talk. I carried that one over as well. We've got some good questions for the boys coming up.
Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, become a VSiN Pro, $199, 13 months, VSiN.com/subscribe. Get the picks, get the splits, get the guides, get everything. To unlock the deal, use the promo code SHARP, VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, it's that time of the week, Palm versus the Big Guy. You know how this works, 30-second shot clock. Dustin won the coin toss. The record right now, 8 wins for Palm, 3 wins for the Big Guy, and 2 pushes. So we start the clock, and we start with you, Dustin. Scale of 1 to 10, excitement level for the Paris Olympics coming up this summer.
We're going to go 1 because you didn't let me go negative. This is not the time for sports when it comes to this time of year and the Olympics happening. And I totally understand it's history and all that, but none of these sports really matter anymore. And I don't love that regular sports, you know, where people get paid, the pros, now have to take a break from their sports to go compete in these fake Olympic sports represent their country. It's all very confusing. It's all very annoying. And now you're making me care more about even more sports in my one time to reset before football starts. So I'm going to go with a 1 out of 10 for the Olympics.
I'm going to say a 0 and break the rule here because the U.S. Women's Olympic Committee had a chance to have some interest in these games by putting Caitlin Clark on the women's team. And everybody wants to draw the comparison to Christian Laettner in 92. That's totally the wrong comp. It's Rebecca Lobo in 96 when Tara Vanderveer had that team. And the NBA was going to start the league. All right. And they went on that 60-game world tour. And David Stern said, you must have Rebecca Lobo, media darling, 22-year-old Rebecca Lobo. 3 times Tara Vanderveer went to Stern and said, she's not one of the 12 best players. She doesn't belong on the team. It's bigger than that. He wouldn't let her kick her off the team. Big mistake.
Mike Palm, $1,000 free roll right now. The Panthers laying 330 or the Oilers plus 275?
I would take the Oilers plus 275. And as we discussed in the first segment, I'll bet Florida as a dog in game six because I don't think there's any way that they can win game seven. I'm certainly not laying $3 with a team that has looked the way that they have for five out of the last six periods or six out of the last seven periods. They've been totally outplayed since period three of game number three. And I think Bobrovsky's lost his confidence. The forecheck is not as aggressive. They're giving up way too many odd man rushes and breakaways. You saw the shorty last night. If you have a Florida Panther ticket, be concerned.
We're going to lay it with the Panthers. Few reasons for that. One, they've got wiggle room. They've got wiggle room to go to game seven where they'll go back home. Secondly, let's look at history. And I understand no team's ever come back to win when they've been down the way the Oilers were 0-3. But even bigger history, and it's a consistent theme for me on Palm versus the big guy. And that's the state of Florida is the state of hockey champions. And the country of Canada has not won a cup since 93. This will be the fourth cup for a team from the state of Florida that shouldn't even have hockey. And Canada doesn't know how to close when it matters. I'll back the Cats.
R.I.P. Willie Mays. Dustin, greatest baseball player you've seen with your own eyes.
So in order to properly contextualize this, I have to go off what the old heads constantly told me growing up over and over about the greats they saw. And the name that came up over and over was Mickey Mantle and how he jumped off the page for them. I got to see my own version of Mickey Mantle. Talked about Mickey's athleticism in the outfield, his power, his speed. Up and down the line, he was there in a blink of an eye. I witnessed it in person. When Mike Trout and the Angels went to Washington, D.C., and I saw him in person, I watched him get up and down that line in the blink of an eye. He looked like an NFL running back. I take that back. Complexion issues. He seemed like an NFL running back.
No sprinkler head, though, for Trout. He has many other injuries. Tony Gwynn is the answer here for me, Patrick. 338 lifetime average is the highest of anybody that played after 1970. Patrick, he hit 302 when he had two strikes on him. 103 plate appearances against Greg Maddux, hit 429, did not strike out at all. More RBIs than strikeouts every single year. He played eight National League batting titles, less than 30 strikeouts per year, hit 371 in his two appearances in the World Series, hit 393 lifetime in extra innings, and oh, by the way, won five gold gloves.
Mike Palm, starting a team today, are you taking Jason Tatum or are you taking Luka?
Very good question here. One's 26, Tatum. Luka's 25. I think Luka is the more skilled offensive player, Patrick, and the better passer, but he plays zero defense. And I think that's one of the liabilities he has if you're starting a franchise is his disengagement on the defensive end of the court and his liability. The other is I don't like his attitude at all. The whining, the crying, and also the lying. He lies a lot. He's got character issues here. He said, oh, I wasn't cursing at calling him. I was speaking in Slovenian. He's lied about getting a fan kicked out of a game. I have trust issues with this guy. We'll go with Jason Tatum.
Look, the answer to this question lies in the fact that it's Nikola Jokic's NBA until proven otherwise. And you're always going to have to deal with the fact that he exists and the way he plays. So I need someone who can go on and heater and match Jokic when Jokic is at his best. I also need someone who's going to be willing to take shots late. And I need a player, if he's going to be my best player, that is not scared of the moment. Jason Tatum isn't about the moment. Luka Doncic thrives in it, puts up big shots, hits big shots. It's Luka Doncic all the way.
Dustin, to those outside of Vegas, explain living in Las Vegas July through September.
So every day in the summer, I begin the day wearing boxer briefs. By the time I get home, they've become a thong. That's how hot it is in the summer in Las Vegas. It's the only place I've ever gained weight in the summer because I'm indoors for the summer. And then even worse, the wind blows in a way at night where it feels like you're getting your skin pierced by a blow dryer. To describe the summer in Vegas is to say humans are not supposed to live here. That's what we learn in the summer in Vegas.
I think it can best be described by the line uttered by Sir Laurence Olivier in that 1970s thriller Marathon Man, where he played the sadistic Nazi dentist hunting for the diamonds, and he was going to torture Dustin Hoffman to find where they were. He said, "You're going to go through periods of discomfort and relief. You can choose. There's going to be intense discomfort with the searing heat, but you're going to be able to find relief once you get indoors, once you get in air conditioning, once you get in water. You just have to find more pockets of relief."
Mike Palm, The Sopranos.
Yeah.
The Sopranos. Overrated, underrated?
This is a very difficult question in the fact that it's so highly rated. And I think highly of it, but if you say it's the number one show, you can't say it's underrated. So I think it was terrific television. I think it gave rise to a whole new TV genre of the anti-hero. And I don't know if there was ever more perfect of a role for an actor than what James Gandolfini was to Tony Soprano, maybe Archie Bunker, Carol O'Connor. I'm going to say it's properly rated because if you go back and watch the whole series, the moments of pure comedy are so unbelievable, set amongst the drama. The intervention scene with Christopher is one of my favorite of all time.
To Mike's point, things can be great and still be overrated. Yeah. The Sopranos is unfortunately very overrated because here's the thing that we've learned over time is that romanticizing the mafia is like the lowest hanging fruit when it comes to creating some sort of drama on TV. People will always tune in for anything involving the mob. There's something about it that draws them in. The bad guys doing the best for them. And I think with The Sopranos, when we look back in history, it's just another example of if it wasn't about the mafia, would you still care as much about these characters?
See this, boys? This white piece of paper?
Yeah.
It's a flag. I'm throwing in the flag. Stop the damn fight. Dustin, you know I love you.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
We'll start with the Olympics. The Clark Lobo comparison was genius. The Oilers or the Panthers? Big guy, you weren't terrible, though you said no teams come back down 0-3 two times in the NHL, that's happened. We go to baseball. Tony Gwynn with the stats is a winner, so that's 3-0. We go to Luka Tatum. The trust issues and calling him a liar, but I gave it a push because, Dustin, you weren't bad there. I was being kind. We then go to a Vegas summer. Mike Palm busted out Laurence Olivier. Though the briefs and thong, it made me laugh hard. So I gave you that one, big guy. But then comparing Tony Soprano, James Gandolfini, to Archie Bunker and Carol O'Connor, that's a W for Mike Palm. So I don't know if you want to argue with me this week. But
no.
That was a tough one.
You're just biased. You're looking to root against me now. That's all. That's what we have.
I am?
You're absolutely biased.
Okay, may we go through this? Did you think his Clark Lobo answer was tremendous?
You know, that was good. That wasn't my best. I'll admit that.
did you stub a toe when you said teams never come back down 0-3?
Yeah, I did. I did do that.
Took a long time to get to the answer of Mike Trout, and I wasn't overwhelmed.
I stand by that answer.
Briefs and thong?
Yeah, that's a winner. We shouldn't live here.
Carol O'Connor, Sopranos, Gandolfini, you would have taken that as a win for you?
He didn't rate it! I said it's overrated! He said it's properly rated! You
properly.
Oh, he broke
properly.
Two rules of the damn contest.
Okay, okay. We'll give it a push.
You said
we'll give it a push.
He said
oh, no.
Zero. You said
oh, no.
Over underrated. He said perfect.
What happened to your mic? Congratulations,
Thank
Palm.
You. Thank you.
Did you feel you won?
I did feel I won this week. Maybe not by that big of a margin. I thought it was a little closer.
Some of us follow the rules and lose.
We're coming back, Sharp Money.
Look, I just...
You are. You're having a bad day, and I'm sorry for that.
I just went back and looked, and what I thought was Aaron Halterman Sharp Money Family Play that I sent earlier today, yeah, I did send it. I sent yesterday's video again today, so I just sent today's video, so hopefully we'll have that before the segment ends, and I tried to blame other people, and I just went and looked, and the only person to blame is myself.
Is it safe space?
Not really, but go ahead.
Dustin, when you have a play going, you're a very emotional person. When you have a play going on in the show, during the show, and it's not going well, it's not great.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll say it differently. Your mood is sucked.
Yeah,
and
But hold on. My mood sucked before the Diamondbacks game even started, so you can't blame that.
I know, but I have to go back to why your mood is sucked. The Palm versus the Big Guy, bro, there have been tough ones to judge. Today wasn't it. You owe me an apology.
I owe you an apology?
Yes.
You set rules, and I played by your rules.
And if you think I'm doing shtick right now, I am not.
No. You set rules for this contest. Each question was carefully worded. I paid attention to those words. My opponent did not. I stuck by the rules of the parameters of the contest.
Okay, fair. I have said out loud, and been doing this forever, I've said out loud, when it comes to just debating hot takes, you're much better than me. I'm not saying you're a bad debater. It's just you're going up against a psychopath.
No, he's definitely... He's going deeper into his bag for what he's bringing, especially the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, let me give you an example. When I say hi to Palm, Palm sits down at the top of the second hour on Wednesdays, and he literally doesn't even say hi to us.
No.
The segment starts. It's a broadcast. This is a professional broadcast. He goes, "Hi, Patrick. Hi, Dustin. Not much going on here." Like, he doesn't even like us. We just like having him on the show.
I see what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
Then all of a sudden, we get to the segment.
It's a show.
And he lights up like a menorah, a Christmas tree. You see what I'm saying? Like, you got to focus. We got to beat this guy.
Look, I don't want to keep blaming you. I would say your shot clock with him is a little more lenient than mine.
That is fair, because he's so sensitive and you're not.
I know. Okay.
I'm having a real life conversation on the air. But you got to be careful with Palm.
But I will give you this. He is going way deeper with the research, and I'm trying not to get bogged down by stats, right? Because that's when I run into trouble. When everything for me is numbers, I have to go off opinion and story and recollection.
Yes.
And if we're being fair, wasn't great with them today. I'll be honest. It wasn't my best performance. In fact, it might have been my worst. My one caveat, though, is that I followed the rules today, and he did not.
I'll always say, when you get into stats, I tune out. When you let it fly, I find you eminently interesting. Let it fly. The boxer brief to a thong, beyond funny.
Yeah,
you heard me laugh. You just got to let it fly,
bro. I've got to go one of two ways here. I can either do the crazy research that he's doing, or
annoying.
I can do absolutely zero and open the questions as you're asking them, and just whatever comes out.
You know what? Maybe try it.
Because the hard part too is when he chooses a side, there's some I don't really believe, but I know in order to win, I'm gonna have to go opposite of him.
Just know that as soon as he walked out of that studio there at the D, he texted Paul Howard, "I beat him again."
He's still gloating. He knows he's sitting three tables away right now, hanging out. I'm not kidding. He wants to see me melt down. He's hoping that him being there is going to make me lose my mind and rip my shirt off again. But I can't rip the shirt. I can't rip the buttons off.
Again, I'll give you credit. You're super entertaining watching you melt down.
Yeah, no, it was definitely acting and not real at all.
You're the best, big guy. You really are. Let's get to the family, Vince.
Oh, John Bowman. John Bowman, the College World Series. Omaha. Peyton Manning's favorite city in America. He yelled it a lot on national TV.
By the way, he's probably over there at the table telling that waitress not to be nice to you anymore.
He's waving at me right now, so someone must have told him we mentioned him.
You mean the little narcs on Twitter?
Yeah. John Bowman, former MLB scout, also worked at Tulane. And
it was probably Bill A.D. Like, it's impossible for him to hate two people more. And he's like, they're talking about you because AD needs to hook up at Legacy.
But sometimes talking about Palm, it's like fueling a villain in a Marvel movie. Like, the more you talk about him, the stronger he gets.
Oh, no. He loves it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
John Bowman, Baseball with Bowman, former scout in the majors, loves college baseball, and he's got a play in tonight's College World Series action.
Sharp Money, family play.
What's up, Sharp Money? It's John Bowman from Baseball with Bowman here, and I just wanted to give you my favorite play for today. So we've been on a roll in college baseball, so we're going to go back to college baseball with a night game tonight. It's Texas A&M and Florida. I like Florida on the money line -105 against Texas A&M. So Florida has been playing well. They actually played earlier this today, and they scored 15 runs. They also, in the blowout, didn't have to use their best reliever in Brandon Neely. So with a couple days off, he's going to be very rested and ready to go. So I think that's going to make a massive difference. Florida's going to have a bit of a bullpen game to start, and then they're going to be able to go to Neely late, and he should be able to shut it down. He's been nails this entire postseason. Texas A&M, they don't really have any pitchers because of injuries. Shane Sadow, their number two guy, was hurt. So they're kind of scrambling. They're going to have to go with a bit of a bullpen game, and I don't think they're going to risk pitching all of their top pitchers in this game, knowing that they only have to win one of the next two games. So I like Florida on the money line tonight.
Florida from Bowman, who's been on fire. I have a question for you. Do I have your back?
Oh, no. It was a wild moment. Wild moment.
Palm, me, and Dustin are in the group right now just throwing freaking bombs at each other. Dustin isn't.
I'm in the corner.
I'm literally defending Dustin.
I'm in the corner watching.
I wish people could see this stuff. Anyway, my bad. But you're welcome. Do we have Alterman or no?
We don't, but I'll give you his play because I know what it is and I like it a lot. He's going to go to the Seattle Mariners against the Cleveland Guardians and get them at a plus price, plus 135 on Seattle for the plus money prince Aaron Alterman today with his Sharp Money family play.
John Goulet is currently on the case to see if Bill A.D. was the rat. So we shall see. You know what we like to do on Sharp Money? Have fun. Everybody, let's just be very clear. Don't take life too seriously. Have some fun. Mix it up a little bit.
I replied to the group text.
We did it!
Good job, Larry. We did it. The text, that right there is the text of the year.
All right, good. I was trying to come with something strong.
That right there was the text of the year.
Oh.
Is it Friday? What a week.
It's Wednesday. What do you mean, what a week? We're halfway done.
If you couldn't tell the way the show started and my mood, I'm kind of shook with this Oiler thing right now.
Well, it's not fun. Like, part of me wants to say it's fun because we could potentially get a full, into next week content out of it. It's our last week before vacation. It really just helps set up the beginning of the week. But then there's another part of me that doesn't want to see Canada win the cup. I think it's just my favorite troll of all time is that Canada hasn't won since 93. The state of Florida is about to get their fourth in that time. It's my favorite fact there is.
Yeah. Yep. Look, the bottom line is, hate me. That's fine. Mm. You can never say I'm not an A-plus troll.
No.
Sausage or pepperoni was funny, though.
Yeah, it is. There's one.
All right, we got a minute left in the program. We've given out a million bets with our friends and our guests. Feinberg gave out a bunch. The tank is empty, so you got anything to take us out here?
Well, we mentioned players to win the Conn Smythe on the losing team. Glenn Hall in 68, Reggie Leach in 76, Ron Hextall 87, Jean-Sebastien Giguère in 2003 for the Ducks. And then finally, Halterman used a phrase, which makes sense because he loves Oklahoma, circle the wagons. Circle the wagons. Brought about in the 19th century. Historically, the term was used to describe a defensive maneuver which was employed by people, Americans, in the 19th century. And it means a group rallying together.
It's like saying pull up your britches. It was a very old man term, but I just wasn't in the mood to call anybody out then.
Well, no.
Check your text, because I have a feeling they could be getting spicy. We'll see you tomorrow.